Okay. You know, it's appropriate to make a siyum during Elul. Not only is the end of the year, of course, but also the same pasuk. The pasuk says about tshuva, ki a mitzvah zos shanoch mitzav hayom v'feisim v'om rechoykehi, v'v'shamayim hi, it's not far away, it's not above you, it's not in the heavens. So the Ramban says on Chumash, that pasuk refers to the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki a mitzvah zos shanoch mitzav hayom is tshuva. However, of course, the Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, v'v'shamayim hi, refers not to tshuva, but to Talmud Torah. That we adjudicate matters of halacha here in Majgichim Babasko. We don't listen to, adjudicate matters of halacha based on a basko, a heavenly voice. Lova Shemayim, it's not in heavens, it's rather for us to decipher down here. So the Nitziv asks in Parashas Nitzavim, what is the Pasuk talking about? Is it talking about Tshuva, that's the context where the Pasuk's found, or is it talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So they quote from Rara and Cutler, it's referring to both. It's referring both to Talmud Torah and to Tshuva, because Rabbeinu Yehuda writes in the Shari Tshuva that one form of Tshuva is Talmud Torah. So now in Chodesh Elul, not only is it the end of the year, it's a Siyum of the year, nice to make a Siyum, very nice, but also Talmud Torah itself is a form of Tshuva. Just like Tshuva brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Talmud Torah brings us closer to Hashem. So thank you for inspiring us. Very nice.
Thank you.
Also, you should get used to making Siyum. We don't talk about it enough. And I see guys leave yeshiva, they always want to learn b'iyun, which is very nice. It's very nice, because once you taste real learning, daf yomi is not satisfying. It shouldn't be satisfying. At the same time though, if you want to be with a strong chevra, I find that the strongest people in learning after yeshiva are all learning daf yomi. Everybody. You don't find the Ben Torah after yeshiva. Maybe in Passaic you have it. I'm sure you have it in Lakewood. You have guys learn. No, you have chavrus who's learning b'iyun, which is very nice. 2 hours a day. There are guys that do that. But by and large, most communities, every serious person is learning Daf Yomi. Upper West Side, all the B'nai Torah learn Daf Yomi. Yeah, you want to have something else too. It's very nice. People learn Daf Yomi, they make siyumim, that's what they do. Unfortunately, we look down on it in yeshiva, which is okay, I understand that why, but there's a big chisaron to Daf Yomi, don't get me wrong. But it's, at the same time, making siyumim, learning, that's the right thing to do. They say last week's parasha, Ki seitz el mochama loivecha. So who are we talking about? I see Eishes Yifas Tayar. And he'll want the Eishes Yifas Tayar. He can't control his Yitzhar. Rala, Dibra Torah, Kanegi Yitzhar. And we're mata the Eishes Yifas Tayar. Who are we talking about, by the way? Whoever went to these wars. Person who had no Averis. If he had any Averis, he couldn't go. Isha Yor V'racha Leivav, Yev V'yeshu V'veso. Who's that? Says Rabbi Yosef Glili. A guy who even talked between Tefillin Shavarish and Tefillin Shoyad and Yitzhar Rabban and blah, 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 blah. Can't go to war. So who's going to war? That's what Rosh Hashanah used to say over in the Purim, Shpion Volozhin. They read all the people who can't go to war. The only person who was going to war was Reb Chaim Volozhin or something. So he said, because it's the only guy who's left. So he said, but we won the war. Then it's it. But he said, but we won the war. Meaning, even though it was just me, we're going to win. Why? Because you're on the right. Okay, fine. But who's going? So the Netziv? Netziv, he says, now all of a sudden, who are we talking about? We're talking about Sadiq and Muflag and Rosh Yeshivas. And all of a sudden they get to war. For they can no longer control themselves. Well, how could it be? We're talking about Gedolei Yisrael. Who else has no averus? Who else can raise their hand and say, "I don't have not one avera bein derabbanan bein deraisa," and yet this same person, yes. So the Bali must say that's a lot of divrei Torah. How could it be? You see, afal piche in itself, right? Okay. So how could it be? It's just the typical Chafetz Chaim methodology. How could it be? Even so, okay. But anyway, leaving out the methodological point. But how could it be? The answer is yes. You see that even great tzaddikim, when you leave the walls of yeshiva, kiseitel mochama levecha, in yeshiva you didn't have one avera, they rise at the rabbanon, but you leave, it's eishes yifas tayar, b'chash aktobah. Now he can no longer control his etzera. So you need something to tether you. So you have to have limud haTorah. Of course, limud haTorah is the anchor. But you see, I don't know. I see. Maybe you disagree, but I see in most communities the serious b'nei Torah all learning. Bikvius, of course, but in many communities, unless everyone is B'nai Yeshiva, like say there are a lot of B'nai Yeshiva. But in general, most people are learning Daf Yomi, making Siyumim. So you should continue down this path, make many, many more Siyumim, Yes Hashem. We look forward to coming to them too. Okay. Let's go on. So we were finishing up something from yesterday, and let's move on to something for today. So we were discussing yesterday was a fantastic notion that we find that even the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach that apply to Jews and to non-Jews alike apply differently to Jews than they do for non-Jews. We discussed Eivah Min HaChai, we discussed Avodah Zarah, we discussed Gezel, we discussed Ritzicha. Four out of the seven Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, even though they apply to B'nai Noach and Yisraelim alike, they might have different definitions and apply differently. But why is this so? And that's how we left off yesterday. Why? Why should that be so, right? We said an animal, while it's still shaking, after it's been shechted, is prohibited to a Ben Noach. That very same piece of meat is prohibited to a Ben Noach if you rip it off while it's still shaking, even though after shechita has been performed, but yet it's mutter for Yisrael. Because we said, Eivah Min HaChai B'nai Noach is defined as taking something off while the animal is still moving. Here it's still moving, but by a Jew it's defined as taking meat off before it's been shechted. And here it's been shechted already. Why should they have two different definitions? So we believe that the answer is because they really are two separate mitzvahs. Our Eivah Min HaChai and their Eivah Min HaChai are not the same mitzvah. The reason why they apply differently is because they're two different mitzvahs which were commanded at two separate times. Look at this. The Rambam writes in Perek Tes of Hilchos Malacha, Malacha Aleph. You might have come across this before. Maybe we even mentioned it this year. But the Rambam writes like this. The Rambam gives you a history of the development of the Torah and the mitzvahs. You don't need an intro to whatever we have across the street. The Rambam gives it to you. Perek Tes, Malacha, Malacha Aleph. Al Shisha Dvarim Nitzdava Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon got six mitzvahs. Oh, we discussed this, right? Avodah Zarah, the whole Sheva mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Without Eivah Min HaChai. Ha'isef L'Noach Eivah Min HaChai. He Adam HaRishon had six mitzvahs, Noach had seven mitzvahs. V'chein haya hadavar ba'kola olam ha'shava Avram. Ba'Avram and his tavar yes ala mila, his pal shachritz. Yitzchak was mafresh ma'aseh, tefillah acheres. Yaakov Avinu got gidon noshe, right? A few other things. Ad shava Moshe v'nishalma Torah yodo. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came and the Torah was completed through his hand. So chaver, when was Eivah Min HaChai commanded? Why do we keep Eivah Min HaChai? Because it was given to Noach, right? That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Why do we keep Shachris and Mincha, even though there's only the Rabbanon? Sounds like it was given to Avram, given to Yitzchak. Right? That if you ask people, why do we keep it? Why do we daven Avram established the Yesodistika comment of the Rambam. But there's another Yesodistika comment of the Rambam. We cannot learn myself to school, and if you never saw this, Perush of Mishnayos and the Rambam and Perik Gidon Asher. I'd say it is one of the most famous comments of the Rambam in all of Perush of Mishnayos. Right, at least top five, if not top ten, yeah. Top 10, if not top 5. If not number 1, maybe. Says the Rambam Perush HaMishnayos. Mesechtos Chulin, Perek Zayin. He's discussing Gidon Asher. Sounds like a far-fetched, but it's like it rarely comes up, but there's a big Yisoid, says the Rambam. What are the mission that they're discussing? The mission there is discussing whether or not Gidon Asher, right, you're not supposed to eat that part of the thigh, applies only to kosher animals or even to non-kosher animals. We paskin, it only applies to kosher animals, not treifa animals. There is no issur of gidon asher in a treifa animal. Why? All right. Why is it only kosher animals? So says the Rambam of Gevalda Giyasoy. Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. Kol ma she'anu nizharim mimenu. Because the only reason we keep the Torah in the mitzvah, so oisim oisoy hayoyim, ein anu oisim zois, ov neitzivoy Hashem ha'idei Moshe. It's only because Moshe Rabbeinu received this mitzvah from Hashem at Maimed Har Sinai, not because of any historical event that took place or command that preceded Maimed Har Sinai. That's not why we keep the Torah in the mitzvah. If that would be the reason, so then when we got Gidon Asher, was Yaakov Avinu prohibited from eating non-kosher animals? No, that mitzvah didn't come till later. The only time that we became restricted to eating kosher animals was at Maimon Har Sinai. Gidon Asher preceded that. So Gidon Asher should apply both to kosher animals and to non-kosher animals. And there's one opinion in Tanoim like that. We don't paskin that way, though. We paskin only applies to kosher animals. Says the Rambam, because we don't keep Gidon Asher, because it was given to Yaakov. At which, where, you know, at that point, there was no distinction kosher and non-kosher animals. Not because Hashem commanded it to Nevi'im who preceded Moshe Rabbeinu. Dugma lakach. We don't need to refrain from eating Eivah Min HaChai because Hashem commanded B'nei Noach to eat Eivah Min HaChai. Moshe Aser Aleinu Eivah Min HaChai B'meshen Istava B'Sinai Sheyishar Eivah Min HaChai Aser. Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that we don't need Eivah Min HaChai. V'chein Anu Ein Anu Molim B'Gal Sheavrom Moas Asma V'Anshei Beisa. We don't do Mila because Avram did it and because he did it to Yitzchak. No. It sounds like that, right? It sounds like we do it because of Yitzchak. We learn a lot of halachas out. Kasher tziva oisar elokim, oisar v'loy oisar, and just like he made a suda when he did milah, so we make a suda, we derive various halachas, says the Rambam, though fundamentally we don't do it because Hashem commanded Avram Avinu. V'chein gid anosha, ein anu nimshachim bo acharei oser Yaakov Avinu, we don't do it because of Yaakov Avinu and a whole mitzvah with the son of Shal Esav, el tzivoy Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu, osir amarta, sheish min, because we have Torah, tziva, lanu Moshe. How many mitzvahs did Moshe Rabbeinu get at our Sinai? Gematria Torah, 611, the Gemara says in Masechtas Makkos. Why is it only 611? Because two, we heard directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Anochi Elohim Yehovah. The rest, Torah, tziva, lanu Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us in 611. Why 611? We got seven earlier. And then Avraham Avinu added some, Yitzchak added some, Yaakov added some, Moshe Rabbeinu got much less. Therefore, says the Rambam, you see from Chazal and Gemara Makkos, Torah, tziva, lanu Moshe, Gematria 611, we received all of the Torah and the mitzvahs from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why we do it. That's why it's authoritative and normative, not because of the historical significance that it might have had previously. One minute. Okay, beautiful. Very nice. So therefore, Gidonosh only applies to kosher animals because it was only given at the time when the Torah prohibited us. It would be permitted the entire animal with the exception of the Gidonosh. It was only talking about kosher animals. Non-kosher animals, they can't eat the whole thing. What do I have to single out the Gidonosh for? Gavaldik. What's the problem? We just read the problem. What does the Rambam say? Perek Tes Hilchos Melachim, he gives me a whole hispatkus, meaning the development of Torah in 613 mitzvahs. It says, Rambam 6 came to Odom HaRishon, 7 to Noach. Avram added a few drips and drabs, Yitzchak, Yaakov, it developed over time. And Moshe Rabbeinu came and he completed it. What? The Rambam writes in Perash HaMishnayos, we just read it. We don't keep the mitzvahs because of Adam HaRishon and Noach and Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's not why we do it. We do it because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. So what is the Rambam talking about? Why does he bother bringing this, Bechlal? You hear the kasha? Also, this is not in Hilchos Malachim, you study a Torah. This is in Hilchos Malachim. What does the Rambam describe in Hilchos Malachim? What's he talking about? What's the last two programs of Hilchos Malachim or Hilchos B'nai Noach? So therefore explains the Or Sameach. The same is found in a sefer called Chemdes Yisrael. It was written by the author of the Kli Chemda. Wonderful sefer, Gavalik. Amazing pilpul on Torah and Chumash. Called Kli Chemda. His name was Rameir Dan Plotsky. The beginning of the 1900s. Polish, like, pilpul. Anyway, he explains that the Rambam feels, why does Rambam bring this? If it's not Nogea to us, the answer is not Nogea to us, it is Nogea to Bnei Noach. Why does a Ben Noach not eat Avram and Achai? Nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. No. Because, as we mentioned yesterday from Nisim Gon, they never heard of Moshe Rabbeinu. They never heard of Har Sinai. The guy isn't living in, you know, some province in western China. He has no access to internet. How's he going to supposed to know about Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai and Avram and Achai? Why is he obligated to keep Avram and Achai? Because it's something that's, if you're an ethical person, these things should come to you. Hashem created us with this internal compass that we should know what's right and what's wrong. That it's wrong to murder people and to rip limbs off live animals. That's why he does it. Ah, so the Rambam says that was given to all of humanity as part of what it means to be Yitzhalim Elohim. So that was something that was Adam HaRishon and Noach, right? The cornerstones of humanity. Why do we do it? Oh, that's what the Rambam says, the Perush HaMishnayos. That's because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. So therefore they came at two different times. Oh, if they came at two different times, it makes sense to say, that we're talking about two separate mitzvahs. They sound alike, right? They're both called Avram and Achai, but they're really very different. How could they be different? How could the same mitzvah apply differently to you than it does to me? And it's not fair, right? The cardinal words that every kid knows by heart, it's like inborn. It's not fair. It's a natural reflex. How do kids know to say it's not fair? I have a 2-year-old. Not fair. I don't know where they learned this. But anyway, it's not fair. How can it be the same mitzvah applies differently to one person than does to another? The answer is we're talking about two separate mitzvahs. B'nai Noach got it from the Chavamad HaMarishin. We got it from Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. It came at two separate times. That's how. And I believe that that's what the Rambam is saying over here in Parakhes of Hilchos Malachim, Malachim Yud, and Malachim Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, anybody know what a Ger Toshav is? Yeah, what do you want to say, Amiel?
I wanted to ask beforehand. We say, like, Sfarim, before we daven, we say, like, a little, like, the Shem Yichud, and we say specifically, like, Hinanachu Vayinit Ve'el Mincha, whatever it is,
okay.
If he can, like, Avram, so doesn't that go against what Rambam's saying?
Not at all. It was established. That's not why we do it.
Oh,
I mean, the Gemara says, can I get avos tiknum, or it's karbanas, machlokes in the Gemara. You're right. They might have established it, but that doesn't. They might have been the first one to do it. That doesn't mean that's why we do it. Mm-hmm. But how do I know that this is true? Because look at the Rambam. Perachesvus hilchos malachim malachim yudum gachidav. Says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu will hinchod. And that's what we're talking about. Anyone know what a ger toshav is? There's, we know what Jews are. We know what non-Jews are. We know that very well. What is a ger toshav? Yeah.
Someone who's living in Eretz Yisrael. They have to accept upon themselves to follow the seven.
Excellent. So, why is he called the Ger Toshav?
Because in order to live in Eretz
Yisrael,
he has to.
Every other guy is not permitted to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Correct. You're not allowed to sell kark in Eretz Yisrael. It's part of the Eastern the Torah. Loisichonim. Lotitin lahem chaniya bekarka. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, we derive many things from there. You're not supposed to compliment an akum gratuitously. You're not supposed to give them matonis. It comes up at the holiday season. You're not supposed to just give presents to Avzei Kerchovim. You're not allowed to compliment them gratuitously. You're not supposed to say, he's so good at this or that. And also, we derive from there, Lotitin lahem chaniya bekarka. You're not allowed to give an Avodah Zarah the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. Or to sell him land there. So this, of course, is the one of the primary problems with the Heta Mechira of selling them land, during the Shnas HaShemitah to the Arab neighbors, is that you're selling Karka and Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, which you're prohibited from doing. So if Cook claims, maybe they don't have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and then we can sell them land. Maybe the Isser is only Ovdei Avodah Zarah, not to the Ishmaelim. That's what the whole Heta, that's the cornerstone of the whole Heta Mechira. And the Chazon Ish disagreed. Fine. That they do, you're not allowed to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but you're not allowed to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael, except if he's a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav means he earned the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. How so? By accepting to do the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach. Says the Rambam, four lines from the bottom. He gives you the whole halacha of what a Ger Toshav is. The whole concept of a Ger Toshav, though, is a little strange, right? Why is the Ger Toshav a little strange? The Ritva already asked himself. The Smach, it says, was the Briskerov I asked you to see. The last shtick on the Briskerov. And the Sefer on the Rambam, of course, the Ritva and Marcus who asked, what is this all about? I accept to keep the rules of Yeshiva University. And if you didn't, you're still here. So will we need you to proclaim? I accept to follow the laws of America. Who needs you to follow? You don't have to accept it or not. If you don't, we'll incarcerate you. Follow the law. We don't need you to be makabel to do it. So the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, are they only shayach if the guy accepts to do them, or even if he doesn't accept to do them? Even if you don't accept to do it, it applies to you. So what is the great significance of a Ger Toshav who accepts to keep the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach? He was obligated to do it anyway. And why does that entitle him to live in Eretz Yisrael? The whole concept of a Ger Toshav is a power. That's the kasha of the Ritva Yisem Esachus Makis, which the Brisker Rav calls and makes a big deal about. Because the Ritva gives the following answer. Look at the Rambam. Says the Rambam, Kol ha-mekabel sheva mitzvos v'nizhel ha-saisan. The answer is found already in the Rambam. Anybody who accepts to do the seven mitzvos b'nei noach, harezeh mechasidei umos ha-olam. He's considered to be mechasidei umos ha-olam. V'yesh l'chelek l'yolam haba. You don't have to call Yisrael, yesh l'chelek l'yolam haba, but also chasidei umos ha-olam. Yesh l'chelek l'yolam haba. V'hu sheyekabel ha-saisan v'yaseh ha-saisan. That is provided that he keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. When do you become a Ger Toshav? If you keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, because it was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Rambam. Avam Asan B'nai Hakreya Hadas. Let's say he does it because of his ethical compass. Ain ze Ger Toshav. He's not a Ger Toshav. Ve ain am chasidei umas ha'olam. And he is not from the chasidei umas ha'olam. The Ram here says, veloy mechacha mehem. Thankfully, the Frankel changes the girsa ela mechacha mehem. He is one. He's a chacham. He's a good ben noyach, perhaps. But he's not a Ger Toshav. Who is a Ger Toshav? Not someone who just keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That's why the Chazon Ish argued against Rav Kook. Even if the Arabs would keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they seem to have a problem with Osir Tzach, right? But even if they would keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, even if they would, But they're not doing it because Moshe Rabbeinu communicated this in the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not why they're doing it. And in order to be a Ger Toshe, you have to do it because it was communicated to us by Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I believe you see from this Rambam, what is the nature of a Ger Toshe? Why is a Ger Toshe different than every other Ben Enoch? What's the whole significance of accepting to do the Shabbat Ben Enoch? You're obligated to do it anyway. And why does that entitle you to live in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, because every other Ben Noach in the entire world, the Gentiles, are obligated to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, Mipnei Hachreya Hadas. How else is he supposed to know about it? It's because we are, every person is created B'Tzelem Elohim, every human being in the image of God, and we have an ethical compass that's internal and that's innate. We simply know it's wrong to kill people. It's wrong, you know, certain times that... We know it's wrong to rip limbs off of live animals. It's wrong to not have a system of justice and court system and have a real law and order. We know that these things are wrong. We don't need a mitzvah from Moshe Rabbeinu and from a Kaddish Baruch Hu to tell us that. And that's what's expected of every Ben Noach. It can't be more than that because they never met the Ribbono Shel Olam, never heard of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, never heard of Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai or Jews, right? They never heard of these things. So how are they supposed to know about it? Half of them think Jews have horns on their heads because it's true. Michelangelo. So, they don't know. So how could they be held responsible for that which happens? The answer is that they're only obligated to follow what they know internally to be ethical behavior. Hechreya hadas, the Rambam calls that. What then is the significance of a Ger Toshav? A Ger Toshav is one who accepts to do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, not just because of the ethical mandate to do so, but rather because it was given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communicated through the means of Moshe Rabbeinu. That makes you into a Ger Toshe. That's why you're entitled to live in Eretz Yisrael, because you are keeping the same mitzvahs as Klal Yisrael. Why? Everybody's obligated in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. No. They're obligated in seven mitzvahs, which was given to all of humanity. We keep Taryag mitzvahs that was given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So even the mitzvahs that we have in common apply differently for Jews than for non-Jews. Wow, our Eved Menachai is not their Eved Menachai. Our Lo Sirtach is not their Lo Sirtach. Our Lo Signov is not their Lo Signov. So the Ger Toshav is jumping the fence in the sense that he's not keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach as they were given to humanity, or only based on the ethical, you know, baseline of humanity. He's doing so because it was communicated from Moshe Rabbeinu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people, and then to the Gerei Toshav. And that's why Ger Toshav is permitted to live amongst Klal Yisrael. If that's the case, if you followed me so far, you held cup, now we can understand the Shver Rashi in Yevamos, which I know we were all losing sleep over, yeah?
So, according to this, the Ger Toshav that, with all we said yesterday, all those different examples, then do they follow the way, like the halachas, like our nature?
They should follow the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach as they apply to Jews.
As not to Olim.
No, correct. Not to B'nei Noach. If he's an Eved Kachavim, he's not a good B'nei Noach either, right? Right. We can understand the Shver Rashi. Why? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, L'man Yanuach, commenting on the Pasuk about Shmir Shabbos, L'man Yanuach, Sharcha V'chamarcha V'Nafesh Ben Amascha V'Hager. You're obligated to keep Shabbos, Ben Amascha, V'hager. Who's the ger? You say Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek is a full-fledged Yisrael. What are you calling him names for, ger? Well, why would the pastor call him a ger? Who's obligated to keep Shabbos? Who's the ger? A Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos. What is a Ger Toshav? He accepted to do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach formally. Now he's obligated in Shabbos? Says Rashi, yes. Says Rashi, Shekiva Olav Shaloi Lava. Oh, we'll get to Rashi and say, Rashi says, obligated to keep Shabbos. Taisa says, can't be, he's obligated to keep Shabbos. We'll get to Taisa, Pesh Bekuntra, Shekiva Olav Shaloi Lava, Shabbos. Taisa says, can't be, he's obligated to keep Shabbos. It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He accepted to do Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He didn't get accepted to do Shabbos. Taisa says, what it means is, and by the way, this comes up too, what it means is, you can't ask him to do a malach on your behalf. Every other nachri you ask to do a malach on your behalf is only nitzim midrabbanon. Amir on the nachri is also midrabbanon. If your nachri is a ger toshav, says Tosis, then amir on the nachri becomes da iraisa. He is restricted from doing malach on behalf of a Yisrael. Which would mean, by the way, if Rav Kook is right, just follow this cheshbon, if Rav Kook is right that I can sell property in Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs, during the Shnas HaShmita because they have the status of Gerei Toshav, well, then I can't have him be the Shabbos Goy in Shul and turn on the lights for the Tzibor, because then Amir Lenachri is also Midaraisa when it comes to a Gerei Toshav. So if Cook was aware of this. So Cook says, no, no! They have the status of Gerei Toshav to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShmita, but they do not have the status of Gerei Toshav when it comes to Amir Lenachri on Shabbos, which is prohibited Midaraisa. Wow, come on. He makes a compelling argument that they're not of the Avodah Zarah, even though Lechlal Ger Toshav Loba. They're not considered to be a Ger Toshav. They certainly have left Eretz Yisrael. And he distinguishes between these two halachas. Between selling land and Eretz Yisrael, that's restricted to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the Amir Lenachri Deiraisa, that you're not allowed to ask a guy to do malach on your behalf, being Midaraisa when it comes to Ger Toshav. That they haven't acquired that status. Yeah.
If there is a Ger who accepts this, but like he doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, then would he allow to be a Shabbos Goy?
No. No. For example, Rabbi Yudin is famous for his electric personality and the way that he's able to be Makara people. I think three of his janitors in his shul have converted or something. That's crazy. It's unbelievable, right? You know what I'm talking about. At least one. I think more than one, though. Because they see the beauty of Yiddishkeit. I mean, it's wonderful. Rabbi Yudin's very impressive personality. But if that's the case, I always wonder then, right? How you're able to, if he's inspiring everyone around him, right? Which is wonderful. But then I don't know if you can rely on this guy. It's a Shabbos guy. Even if he doesn't convert, if he's keeping the Shabbos, this has been enough because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. He stays around for one shiur or two, which obviously these guys are sticking around. They're learning something by osmosis or whatever it is. So then, I don't know if he's still a regular Ben Noach, that Amir Lenachri is the Rabbanon, because I might come to do it. If I ask him, I might come to do it myself. So it's also the Rabbanon. If he's a Ger Toshav, he'll be prohibited in Midaraisa. It has nothing to do with living in Eretz Yisrael. 100% right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's just the criteria.
Yes. Yeah. Again, everyone else disagreed with Cook that the Arabs don't have the status of Gerei Toshav and you can't sell them land in Eretz Yisrael because they don't keep the Shabbat Mitzvah Ben Enoch. Even if they keep it, they don't do it because of Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. Akitza Maisa, though, how could Rashi say a Gerei Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos himself? Taisa says, what it means is I can't ask me to do it on my behalf, Midaraisa. Every other guy, I can't ask him to do Malach on my behalf, Midarabana, and Gerei Toshav is Deiraisa. That's what it means. He's not obligated to keep Shabbos himself. He can't violate Shabbos on my behalf for me. Rashi says, no, a Ger Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos. How can be a Ger Toshav obligated to keep Shabbos? So Rashi explains, because what we already saw in Chulin and Av Hey, because if you're Mechal Shabbos for Hesio, you're denying the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, which itself is a manifestation of Avodah Zarah. He accepted not to worship Avodah Zarah, so you're obligated to keep Shabbos as an extension of that. Says Rashi, keep a log, go Rabbi Avodah Zarah, the Ochon of Velos, viz hero HaKazav Shel Shabbos. The Mechalos of Shabbos, Ka'ovid, Avodah Zarah, you obligated yourself not to worship Avodah Zarah. By extension of that, you're obligated to keep Shabbos. What's the kasha? We asked that yesterday. If that's the case, every Nachri is prohibited from worshiping Avodah Zarah. So every Nachri, what's special about the Ger Toshav? Every Nachri should be obligated to keep Shabbos. By virtue of the use of Avodah Zarah, not because of Shabbos itself, but because of what it represents. Mechal Shabbos is Ki'u Ovid Avodah Zarah. And yet we have the Lacha Goyisha Shabbos is Chayav Misa. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos. Why is the Ger Toshav any different? I believe that the answer is not my answer. Rav Yaakov has this in the Emes LeYaakov in Parshas Yisro. Rav Gusman has it in the Kuntres Lishiyum. They all explain that Rashi held what we explained until now. That a Ger Toshav is keeping the Shabbos Mitzvahs B'nei Noach not as they are known to non-Jews, but as they apply to Jews. So the Israeli desire that applies to regular B'nai Noach just means don't worship other gods. It doesn't mean I have to affirm the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when they gear, so therefore, they're not obligated to keep Shabbos. If you don't violate Shabbos, you're not worshiping idols. You're not affirming the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not what Avodah Zarah means for them. That's what it means for us, right? We're not just prohibited from worshiping idols. We have to affirm the existence of the Yichud Hashem, of the singular existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So anything less than that is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Chilul Shabbos is tantamount to Avodah Zarah because of what it implies. So a Ger Toshav has the same requirement, not because of Shabbos. Shabbos not one of the Shabbos of B'nai Noach, but because he accepted upon himself to do the Shabbos of B'nai Noach. Now, not as they apply to non-Jews, but as they apply to Jews, because it was based on the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's an entirely different mitzvah than he was obligated in beforehand. beforehand there was obligated for the Zohar, it was given to Adam Harishon and to Noach as part of, you know, the innate sensitivities and values that is implanted in every human being. By virtue of the fact that he's created B'Tselem Elokim, now he's not doing because of that. He's doing because Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, the Yisra of the Zohar there is different than the Yisra of the Zohar that existed previously. And now it's not just not to worship idols, it's to affirm the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So now the Ger Toshav is obligated to keep Shabbos, not by virtue of Shabbos, but by virtue of what it implies regarding Avodah Zarah. Oh, so that's a good teretz to Rashi. Shver Rashi, but that's a... You know, sometimes the kasha is as good as the teretz. Sometimes the teretz is just as good as the kasha. Kasha is a good kasha. How can Rashi hold the Ger Toshav is chayiv to keep Shabbos? But what a geshmak of teretz. Now we understand how that's possible. Okay, Chevra, let's go on. On we go. All right, we're moving on in the Gemara. So the Gemara said, right, that the first two words of the Mishnah are "kol hakol shechting" refers to a tamei who shechting chulin shenatsu al taras hakodesh. He can shecht the chachila because the whole is to be matamei the chulin shenatsu al taras hakodesh. Only the rabbanon. What about the next two words in the Mishnah? Ushketasing sheir. That's talking about a guy who shechting kachim, who's tamei. The person is tamei. He shechting kachim lechachila. You shouldn't do it, but if you did it, then the shechita is kasher. Then the shechita is kosher. But when is the shechita kosher? The shechita is only kosher if he says, "Bari li shelo nagati." Let's read it again. Ketzer u'osa mevisachan arucha v'shoichei bo, right in the middle of beis and beis. V'shoichei bo kedei shelo yigo babasim v'kdashin lo yishchait. By v'kdashin you shouldn't do it chachliga shem yigo babasim. V'im shach avamer bari li, if he says, "I shechta, but I'm sure I didn't touch it, shelo nagati, shechita sukshera," then the shechita is kosher. Okay, so that's what the next two words of the Mishnah are talking about. A guy who shechted, kachim, where there's an isid v'tamei v'day raisa, so if he's tamei, he really shouldn't do it, maybe he'll come to touch it. We asked, when is the guy touching it already? The animal is still shaking, it's alive. So that's what we've been discussing until now. Fine, then the Mishnah continues, chutz mecher eshoit v'katan, da'afil b'chulin gredi di'eved namilo. Even when you're talking about regular chulin. Okay, so the first two words of the Mishnah are talking about tamei who shechting chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Kitatzik Sher is talking about a tamei who shechting kachim. Then chutz mecher eshoit v'katan, we're discussing they're shechting anything. Not allowed to shechle anything. Why? Da'afil b'chulin gredi, di'evin nami lo, shema yishu, shema yidushu, shema yachlidu. Maybe they'll perform one of the psuei shechita, which you won't be able to tell by looking at the animal. It's in the manner in which it's performed. Tosfos says, is that right? Shema Yishu, and you won't be able to tell that it is, that they pause in the middle of the Shechita. Da'afil b'chulin gredi di'evin nami lo, Shema Yishu, Shema Yishu, Shema Yachidu, v'kulan sheshachtu. Okay, but now let's go to the next clause in the Mishnah. V'kulan sheshachtu. Right, what is the next line of the Mishnah? Say, v'kulan sheshachtu, v'acherim ro'in o'san Shechita shen k'shera. Everyone who shechs and other people are watching them, the Shechita is kosher. Now we have three possibilities where that could be talking about. Or two. It could either be talking about a tamei who shechts and kachim, or it could be talking about the tamei shechting chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. He lechatchila could do that, so we don't need other people watching you. What are the other two possibilities? A tamei who shechting kachim, or a chayr shoyt v'katan who shechting. So v'kulan sheshach v'chayim ronasan shitasing shera. Everyone who shechts, someone's watching you. The shechita is kasha b'diavad. So ahaya says the gemara. Which one is that? Which group is that talking about? Ilei mecher shoyt v'katan. If he says talking about that which immediately preceded the chereshoyt v'katan, where the shechita is possible b'diavad. Alokai. That's what we were just talking about. It should have said v'im shachtu mibayilei, not v'kulan sheshachtu. That's exactly what we're talking about. You don't have to say we don't need another subject. V'im shachtu mibayilei. Just should have said continued. Elatame b'chulin. Maybe he's talking about a tamei and chulin. They can't be. Hamartu chachil nami shachet. He could also shech. I don't need other people watching him. We're not afraid he's going to come to be matamei the chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Because either way, it's only yasim midrabanan if at all to be matamei chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. However, a tamei b'mekdoshim. So I'm at a tamei who shech in kachim. Why do I need other people watching him? B'bari li sagi. As long as he says I'm sure I didn't touch it, that's fine. Delei se kamon din eshaylei. Because there's no one here. He's not here to ask. The only time a tamei who shechs kachim, the shechita is kasher b'diavad, is if he says, "I'm sure I didn't touch it," and he's not here, so you need other people watching him. And even then, it's only good b'diavad. All right. 1 minute. So a tamei who shechs kachim is only kasher if he says, "I'm sure I didn't touch it," or you have other people watching him. What would be if we had no one watching? No one watching. We don't know what happened. Sounds like it's a problem. So Tosis jumps in. There's many sadistic things over here. Tosis jumps in. He says, why? He says, how many people were found in the Azara? Many people. There were a lot of people there. It was a public thoroughfare. Whenever you're dealing with a Rishus HaRabim and you have a Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. So even if no one was there, even if he's not around now to ask him, did you touch the Kachim? And even if no one is standing over watching him, there's a lot of people going around, no one's necessarily watching him do the Shkita, it should still be kosher. It should be no worse than every other Safek Tumah. Safek Tumah in Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. Where is that principle derived from? It's derived from a very strange source. Why do I say it's very strange? Because it's not talking about a topic of Tumah at all. It's talking about an Isha Saita. Here the Gemara says, Mesef L'Saita Chav Chesem Ibn Aleph. The pasuk says in connection with Isha Saita, V'hi Nitma, V'hi Lo Nitma. Right, when do you have an Isha Saita? Isha Saita is if a man suspects his wife of having an affair. He says to her, please don't be alone with this other man. Of course, she's not allowed to be alone with him anyway. It's an Issa Yichud. But if she violates the Kinoi, the husband is mekaneh her, meaning he's jealous. He's not jealous. He's right to be, you know, be makbid on his wife, not be misyakib with another man. She's an Esh Yisrael after all. She is misyakib with that man. So then he can make her drink the mei saita. If she was ever misyakib with a man, there is no mei saita. Mei saita is only if a man is mekaneh his wife. He says to her, please don't be alone with this man. She does it anyway. Then he suspects that something inappropriate happened, she drinks the mesaita. If nothing inappropriate happens, then she gets blessed. If something inappropriate happened, of course, she doesn't get blessed. Yeah, what?
Why would she get blessed if she's still like...
Okay. Yeah, it's not great. It's good kasha. In order to demonstrate the fact that she's innocent. Uh-huh. That's why.
Why not just not
blah? Because the Gemara says, Gemara asked that, the Gemara says because she could have a schus that was toila, like she was brought her children to learn the base medrash. So that could push off her her din. So you never know. So in order to make it clear, she's not just having a continuance. She's really guilty. She's really innocent. She gets pregnant. Okay. So, but the pasuk says, "V'hi nitma, v'hi loy nitma." If she's nitma, meaning she was alone with the man, she drinks. He loy nitma means she was not alone with the man, then she doesn't drink. Im nitma, lama shoyse, 1 minute. Nitma means that something bad happened. She's tummy. So then why does she drink? If we know that she had relations with this man in private, we don't make her drink. It's only if we're not sure. Then why are you calling her tummy? Im loy nitma, if nothing happened, we know nothing happened, then why would you make her drink either? Right? If we know nothing happened, there's no point in making her drink. If there's edim that nothing happened, you don't drink. Magalacha kasav, so the pasuk is teaching us. Shasafek Asura. It's coming to teach us that if she was alone with this man and we have a Safek, that itself renders her tummy. Mikana Tadon L'Sheretz. Umasaita, right? From here we can derive for other Tumos, even though this is not a matter of Tumah V'Tara. This is a matter of Issa V'Heter, of whether or not a woman is permitted to her husband or not. There's no Tumah V'Tara here. The Torah teaches us a halacha with regard to Tumah V'Tara in this context. And that is, even if it's a Safek Tumah, it's tummy. But 1 minute, when is it considered to be a Safek Tumah that's Tamei? Only if the woman is alone with the man. That's a private affair, right? No pun, right? But a private gathering, a Rishus HaYochid. There aren't three people there, it's just him and her. So if it's a Rishus HaYochid, we don't mean that it has to have walls and Tzuras HaPesach like carrying. What it means is that it's not a public thoroughfare, it's Yichud, which is just one man and one woman, right? So then she's Tamei. So we derive from here, Safek Tumah in a Rishus HaYochid, like the Isha Saita, even though we don't know what happened, the pasuk calls of an Itma, that means Safek Tumah Rishus HaYochid is Tameh. If there's three people there, it's no longer Yichud. So Safek Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. The pasuk says, V'hi loy nitma, which means she wasn't alone with the man. Why? How do you know nothing happened? Maybe still something happened. No, the answer is, if it's a Safek in Rishus HaRabim, it's coming to teach us that that's called not Nitma. That's called Tahar. So you derive from the Isha Saita a rule with regards to Tumah V'Tara. The Safek Tumah Brishus HaYochid is Tameh, because the Torah jumps to conclusions and called it a Nitma, even though we don't know what happened, to teach us that a Safek Tumah Brishus HaYochid, like an Isha Saita, is Tameh. And if she was not alone with him, V'loy Nitma, that comes to teach us a Safek Tumah Brishus HaRabim is Tahar. Now again, this is very different from general rules of Sfeikos. Right? What's the rule if you have a suffek if this hamburger is kosher or treif? What do we say?
If it's just,
well, that's if there was a mixture. I have a hamburger right here. I don't know. Suffek deraisa lachumra. You got to go lachumra. And if it's only nisim midrabanan, I don't know when I had milk last, or meat last. When can I eat meat? You know, milk now. So that's only nisim midrabanan to eat milk after meat. So within 6 hours, only a minig. Even within 1 hour, is only nisim midrabanan. So I said, okay, I'm not sure when we had. I'm not sure when we finished. Suffek derabanan lakula. You can be makel to have milk after meat. Suffek derabanan lakula. Suffek deraisa lachumra. Tumah v'tara. That's not how we resolve sveikus. We resolve sveikus. Suffik tumah b'shus harabim is tahar. Suffik tumah b'shus hayochid is tamen. Well, where's another way of resolving? What do we do if I we find I say the money in your pocket belongs to me? Give it.
You say the claimer or bar
b'shama. We say hamotzi mechavero alavaraya. You want to take my money? Prove that it's yours. You say I owe you $20. Prove it. Ah, we have a suffik. Why don't we say suffik gezel? I say you owe me $20. Suffik deraisa lachumra tenisa gezel. Now you got to pay. That's not how we resolve sveikus. We don't resolve sveikus that way. We say hamayitim echavero alavaraya. You want my money? So then you know, prove that it belongs to you. Why don't we say suffik deraisa lachumra every time you owe someone money to suffik gezel? See, the answer is because then we have three areas of halacha where we resolve sveikus differently. Rav Shechter likes to quote this based on the pasuk in Parashas Shoftim that kivasa shoifet that if you have a suffik in halacha bein dam ledam bein din ledin bein nega lenega divrei rivos b'sharecha v'kam tevalisa, then you should go up and ask a shaila. But why does the pasuk say bein dam ledam between blood and blood, bein din ledin between judgment and judgment, bein nega lenega? Why give three examples? So the Vilna Gaon explains, because these are three different areas of halacha which have three different ways of resolving sveikos. Bein dam ledam is by issa v'heter, kosher and treif, issur mutter. So there we say safik deraisa lachumra, safik derabanan lakula. Bein din ledin is by dinei mamonos. We say amayzim echaver, olav araya. Bein nega lenega is tumah v'tara. There we say safik tumah b'shus harabim is tar, safik tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei. So each one of these three areas of halacha have their own way of resolving sveikos. They're not all the same. And when it comes to tumah v'tara, how do we resolve sveikos? Safik tumah b'shus derived from saita. Safik tumah b'shus hayachid, just like the ishah saita was alone with the man who her husband told her not to be alone with. The pasuk calls her tamei, even though we don't know anything that happened yet. So suffik tumah b'shus hayachid is tamei, even though it seems like totally random, right? What does this have to do with how you resolve sveikus? But okay. Suffik tumah b'shus harabim is tar. If it takes place, this suffik happens in the presence of many people, then it's tar. So zak tosis like this, frek tosis akasha, why do I need a guy to say tamei u'shechtim kachim? Why do I need him to say barili shalom negati? I'm sure I didn't touch it. Or why do I need someone else who's watching over him to make sure that he doesn't touch it? In order to allow the shechit to be the eved, we shouldn't allow it because he might come to touch it. He'll violate an isa, so don't do it. So we don't let him shech lechachilo, but be the eved, the shechit is kosher. If he's there and he's there to touch it, or someone else is watching him, says, Taisus, where is this taking place? In the Azara. How many people in the Azara? 1 million people are in the Azara. So suffik tumah b'shus harabim, Miss Tahar. Why do I need him to affirm it? Why do I need someone else watching over him? Even if we don't know what happened, suffik tumah b'shus harabim, Miss Tahar. That's Taisus kosher. So Taisus answers, this is not the same. It's worse. Because it's really hard not to touch it. That's kind of like a rove. Most people would touch the yanwa as you're shechting it, right? Unless you're using some ridiculously long knife. Like a clown knife, right? Most people touch the animal that they're shechting. So you probably did touch it. So we can't say safik dura tumah b'shus harabim is tahar when we say most people probably would have touched it. It's a raglaim ledavar. Most people probably would have touched it. We don't say safik tumah b'shus harabim is tahar. Then Taisus has another answer. Maybe we're not talking about a guy who's shechting the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about before the Beis HaMikdash was built. They were shechting in bamos in a private altar, and therefore there aren't a lot of people there. It's just you and your altar, right? So then we don't say suffik tumah b'shus harabim is tahar because we're talking about a person who is shechting in private. That's a daichik teretz. Because why are we not talking about the Beis HaMikdash where there's a lot of people there? So Tosfos would probably have to say, like his first answer, that is because rov times that people are there, they probably would have, shechting, you probably would have touched the animal, so we don't apply suffik tumah b'shus haram tahar when there's a rov against you. How do you know that that's the case? How do you know that that's the case? So Ramban brings a raya to Tosfos before he disagrees with it. Ramban says he's a raya to Tosfos. From a Gemara Masechtas Pesachim. Says the Gemara Zoi. Have a look over here, eyes base. The Gemara says Masechtas Pesachim daf Tesmet Alf. Ma'isa b'shufchaso shol meitzik echad b'rimon. A guy didn't live in a pomegranate. His name was Rimon. Right. And he was a wealthy guy. It's not relevant to the story. I don't know why it's there, but okay. She'tiga nefel labar. He put a nephil, right, or a dead infant into a pit. Be a problem for Tumas Kainan. Ubar Kain vehitz its boy, the Kain came to see, leida im zakar hu im nekevahi. The check, was the baby a zakar or nekeva? What difference does it make? Because if it's a zakar, so then there might be obligations of pidyon haben or whatever, you know, b'chor, I don't know. Came to see if it was a zakar or nekeva. Have some relevance. So he was going to see what the baby was, a zakar and a keva. Is he tame? The chachamim said he's not tame. Because there's leopards and mice there, and they probably slept away the baby. Even if there was a dead infant in the pit, it's gone by the time the kohen came. Maybe. One second. That's a suffix. Do we know a mouse came and took the baby out of the pit? No. Do we know a baby was there? Yes. So why do we assume that it's gone? V'ahakav devada hitila. We know the baby was there. V'suffix garu. It's only a suffix if someone moved it out. V'suffix lo garu. Maybe it was there. Maybe it was slept out. Maybe it wasn't. V'kasi suffix. How is a suffix coming and being moitzmi devada? We know it was there. You have a suffix if it left. How can you do that? Usually ain't suffix moitzmi devada. So Gemara says, "Loi tema shetila nefil labar." Don't say that we're sure that the guy put the nefil in the pit. Ema shepila kamin nefil labar. We saw him putting something in the pit. We don't know if it was a nefil. It might have been. It might not have been. Vavi sveik sveika. It's a sveik sveika. Maybe it was there. Maybe it wasn't there. Meaning, maybe that's what he put there. Maybe that's what he didn't put there. And even if he put it there, maybe the chulda, or maybe the bardalase, the leper, took it out. So we don't know if it was there. Bardalase is above a comma, right? Isn't it? By the dangerous animals. So we don't know if it came or if it didn't came. You know, if the navel was there in the first place or wasn't there in the first place. And even if it was there, maybe a bardalase took it. So it should be tahar. One minute. Slow. Safek tuma b'shus hayachid is tame. How many people are around over here? This seems pretty private. It's in a pit. So we should have said suffik is tamei. What if I have a sveik sveika when it comes to a suffik tuma b'shus hayochid? Doesn't matter. The Mishnah says in Masechta, it's a Tosefta, I think, a Mishnah. As many sveikas as you can come up with in tuma v'tara, it doesn't matter. No rule of sveik sveika mutter. That's by Yisuf Heter. There's no rule of sveik sveika by money. Right? There's no rule of sveik sveika by tuma. Suffik tuma b'shus hayochid is tamei no matter how many sveikas you have. So says the Ramban, ask the Ramban, or the Balei HaTosfos, how could Suffik Tuma B'Shus HaYochid, you know, how could this be Tahar? Because if a Sveik Sveika, Suffik Tuma B'Shus HaYochid is Tameh, overrides the principle of Sveik Sveika. So what are you going to say? I don't know if he put an Eifel here, and even if he did, maybe the mouse or the bar of the race took it, so the Kain is Tahar. How could he be Tahar? You have to, because of a Sveik Sveika, Suffik Tuma B'Shus HaYochid is Tameh. So says Ramban, it must be because this is like a rove. It's a sveik sveika could also be a kind of a rove, right? The majority, you know, the probability is that there's no baby here. Because maybe you put a baby there, maybe you didn't. And even if he did, maybe it's gone. So even though the principle of sveik sveika doesn't apply to tumah v'tahara, maybe the principle of rove does. And if rove applies to override sveik tumah b'shus hayachid being tameh, rove should also apply to override the rule of sveik tumah b'shus harabim is tahar. And therefore, since most people would touch the animal as they're shechting of the tamei who shechted the kachim, it will be tamei anyway. Chevi, your father, Cheshvin, says Rabban, let's read it inside over here. Always give him. Ika the kachule, lama li bori. Why does he have to say, I'm sure I didn't touch it? Kimi sveka leina mishki tosak shere de michti. Azar v'shus harabim, the azar v'shus harabim. V'savik tumma v'shus harabim, savik tahar. Savik tumma v'shus harabim, savik sveka tahar. V'chi leisig abandu v'shai leina mi. Even if he's not here to ask him, lama li achayim ra'in asam, why do I need other people watching over it? Savik tumma v'shus harabim is tahar. V'neiku rei dekevin d'shachar reglan l'davar d'nago. The majority of people would touch the animal as they're shechting it. So that's why we don't apply the rule of Safi Tumash Harabim Tahar. And the rule of Roiv, of probability, overrides the principle of Safi Tumash Harabim Tahar. How do you know that? Because that's what the Gemara means in the Psachim. In this case, if a person would put the nape on a pit, Uba coin the hits the coin leaned over it to check, laid them zakhram the cave to see if it's a male or a female. Uba myself they come into your room. They come and allowed it. Because probably even if there was a baby there, it was slept away. So see, Rove overrides the principle of something to me, but just say, because there's a mice and a leopard there. But they asked, well, ain't something must be they father me for Kina Shamaruachi Pila, maybe. It was only, you know, it looked like you put something there, but it wasn't really the baby. But that's not my Rosh Hashayachid. It's a pit. It's a pretty private area. If it's a Rosh Hashayachid, every Sufik in the world, no matter how many Sveikos we pile on, it should still be Tame or a Kavan. Shusafik Haragil, Tolan Lahakil. Meaning, since it's the probability is that it's not there, we're Matahir the Kohen. But Kol Shekin Lahachmir. So if we follow a rov to be Matahir the Kohen, certainly we would follow a rov to be Matami the Kachim, Zeh Kosvu B'Taisvis. That's Taisvis' answer. The Ramban does not like this for two reasons, and each one is important. The Ramban does not like this. The first reason is because he says, the whole time Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim is Tahar is when there's a probability that you're Tameh. If there's no probability that you're Tameh, why do I need a rule of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Tahar in the first place? Because the guy has a Chezkas Tahara, right? Most people are Tahar until we know that he became Tameh. If we don't know that you're Tameh, then you have a presumed status of being Tahar. And the important thing about Chazak is that they project forward. We presume that your status stays the same until we know otherwise. That's the whole rule of a chazaka de meikara, right? This meat was kosher. We assume it wasn't cooked with milk until we know otherwise. It has a cheskas kashrus. Right? A restaurant we know was kosher in the past, we assume it continues to be kosher until someone tells me otherwise. So you have a presumed status of being tahar. Why would any suffik tuma then make you tameh? Why do I need a rule of suffik tuma versus harabim is tahar? Every person has a presumed status of being tahar. You have a chazaka. What's the only thing that beats a chazaka? Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adev. A rove beats a chazaka. So the only time we need a rule of Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim is tahar is when there's a rove, a majority, you know, probability that you became tameh. And nonetheless, the rule is Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim is tahar. So don't you see Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim is tahar overrides even the probability of being tameh. Let's read it inside. Lo nehira. The Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Hilchasa Gemiri La is Allah Moshe Misinai Kedamin B'Kamadukti B'Talmuda V'Yisrael Kamam B'Pirkin. It's later on in Chulin and Aftesim Abayz. The Safek Tumah B'Shus HaRabim Hitalahem. So Hai Hilchasa Gemiri La V'Chi Istrich Hilchasa. When do I need this Allah Moshe Misinai L'Heichad the Ikarag Laim L'Davar Istrich? It's only when there's a probability that you became Tameh. The Ilav Haki, we're not for that, you know, that you have a probability that you're Tameh. Mishum Hemez Dover Al Ches Kosa, Hu Tahar. We should have said, rely on the Chazaka that you had, your previous status of being Tameh. Most people are Tahar until proven otherwise. The only time I needed Lach HaMash Misina is to discount the row of a probability that you became Tameh. Okay. So it can't be like Taisus. We'll have to see how then does the Ramban resolve Taisus Kasha? Why does the guy have to say Burili? Why do I need someone watching over him? The Tamei Shech's Kachem, it should be Safek Tumah, which is around Ms. Tahar. So Taisus said, no, but there's a probability that you touched it. So we don't apply the rule of Safek Tumah, which is around Tahar, when there's a probability that you're Tamei. The Ramban says, that's the only time we need the whole rule was a probability when you're Tamei. How then does the Ramban deal with Taisus Kasha? Why does the Tosfos disagree with the Ramban? So that we'll have to leave for tomorrow. Okay, Chevra. Yashar Koach. Mazel tov to you again.